The biggest media story this week was the announcement by Facebook that it will buy Instagram, which is an app you may be familiar with if you have a smartphone. It enables you to share photos. You can treat them as well. You can make them look old, for example. But sharing's the main thing. Facebook will pay $1 billion for this. Stilgherrian is a leading internet commentator.
I think it's a beautifully strategic move on Facebook's part. There's a whole lot of things they have to do in the lead up to their share float, which is coming up soon, one of which is to kind of convince the market that they're still hip and cool. And the other thing they've got to do, I suppose, is convince the market that they will win long-term rather than Google.
Right. So a big part of the value of Instagram to them is that if they buy it, Google can't have it.
Correct. And Google's struggling at the moment. Their Google Plus social network, in theory, has 170 million users, but Google's just been kind of turning on Google Plus for anyone who had any kind of profile within the Google universe. So out of those 170 million users, I would think a very, very small proportion are actually using the network. I mean, whenever I talk about Google Plus with people, the word tumbleweeds comes out.
Why is that?
I mean, there's no one really there except for kind of Google geeks and a few diehards.
So a big part of the value is that they buy it so Google can't. And obviously, and you've written about this, it's creating buzz in the lead up to their float. But $1 billion, really?
Well, it sounds a lot, but then you've got to realise that in 18 months, less than 18 months, Instagram has built up a massive user base. This actually works out to only about $27-$28 per Instagram user. And in the grand scheme of Silicon Valley startup buyouts, that's actually a relatively low number.
The other thing which I've seen on this, which makes it look like a bargain, if you can cast it in those terms, hard to imagine anything being a billion-dollar bargain, is the number of employees that Instagram has, which you could count if you had three hands.
That's right. There's 13 employees, and the kind of number that works out at is that each one of those employees supports more than 2 million users, which makes it an incredibly efficient machine for running a photo sharing service for all of these users.
How much is this indicative of the, I suppose, the increasing primacy of the mobile phone?
Look, this is 100% all about the mobile phone connecting from a mobile device to the social network. Facebook so far never quite got this absolutely right. People have said that their mobile app is just that little bit clunky. It doesn't make it easy for people to just share lots and lots of stuff. So what Instagram does is provide almost that one button. Hey, I can take a photo and it's cool and fun and funky and I can upload it and it'll tell people where I am and I can tell my friends about it as something that's a very fluid operation. And whether Facebook integrates that or not, and they've said they're not going to do that. Facebook has said they will keep Instagram as a very separate service. But that still means people are part of the family of companies, if you like, which does make it possible, depending on the wording of terms and conditions, for the data mining to happen.
Still, I can see all this, you know, they've got the cool kid now within their stable. Google can't have it, generates buzz. But doesn't it show that Silicon Valley is experiencing a bubble?
I will happily say yes, because the fact of the matter is, Instagram doesn't have any revenue. There's no money coming in yet. The money that has come in has all been from the angel investors and then the first round of venture capital funding. I think it was $7 million in February. And look, this is how Silicon works. It's a giant game of musical chairs. You have to keep the buzz going long enough and the investors putting money into your startup until it becomes big enough or hip enough or stable enough for advertisers to want to start putting ads in it or for someone else to buy you out. This is what they're all after. The IPO, they make the big money and become the Silicon Valley millionaire. That's the aim.
It's hard to know, of course, whether it'll work or not, because it's not that long ago that Facebook wasn't making any money, and now it's making loads of money.
Well, that's right. We get a few occasional ones that like Facebook is just ridiculously successful. But there's no real reason why it necessarily should have been, given that we had MySpace with a bigger track record, was bought by the biggest media operation on the planet in terms of News Corporation, and they blew it. But there's no reason why MySpace could not have been the big great thing had there been a bit more clue from Mr. Murdoch's world.
It reminds me of that quote about Hollywood, nobody knows anything. Until the movie's made and out there, nobody knows if it's really going to work or not. You're making it sound like it's a bit the same.
Well, I think it is, because it's based on hits. Instagram is a hit. But there were certainly a lot of other people at the time. And you look on Apple's iTunes store or the Android market today, and you will see dozens of little photo sharing apps that allow you to put sepia effects on things or make them look like a 70s picture as well, just like Instagram. Why was Instagram the hit? There are network effects. As soon as one becomes a bit more popular than the other, that's the one people join.
Now, will they keep all the users? Because there are already quite a lot of reports about Instagram users being unhappy. And of course, their primary concern is about privacy.
It is. And, you know, Facebook does not have the best reputation when it comes to privacy. That really will be the question. Now, there's always a lot of noise. People say, oh, that was such an important part of my life, and now you've ruined it and I'm going to leave. But there's always a lot of noise, but very few people actually leave. I mean, 2 years ago, there was a whole, we're all going to leave Facebook because they're evil and nasty and destroy our privacy. And I left Facebook at that time myself. But it doesn't seem to have done Facebook any harm.
No.
It's a very loud but very tiny group of people that seem to care about this.
And you think that Facebook will, what will they do with the data?
Look, the Facebook will do what they continue to do with the data. They will say it's a whole separate operation. But without digging down into the terms and conditions, we always have the option to share your data with partners. They'll always say they'll remove anything that identifies you as an individual. But really, how many people were in that spot taking a photograph of Federation Square at 2:55 p.m. on Wednesday afternoon, who also have a three-year-old child that they took a photograph of the day before? I mean, to say that we will not share your personal information is kind of a bit silly when you realise that you're actually publishing a detailed fingerprint of people's personal lives.
So what does Instagram know about us now? And what will Facebook know as soon as they actually have it within their more?
Well, you know, they'll know everything that you tell them when you take a photograph, which is where you were. If you take a photograph of your family and label it your son or daughter, will they know the age of your children? With face recognition technology, they can cross-match that with all sorts of other photographs along the way. They know the kind of things you're interested in. If you talk about your workplace and then take a photograph of it, they can piece that together. If you catch the same train every morning and complain that it's late and do a photograph from the platform, will they know? Well, you know, eventually they can piece together enough bits and pieces. The example I always use, there's only so many 35-year-old female nurses with an 8-year-old daughter who catches the 7:15 train from a certain station each morning. They don't need to know your name. They can take that fingerprint, if you like, your profile and match it with other elements to find out more about you.
You're making it sound like it's a creepy thing, but it doesn't have to be a creepy thing. It's just because they want to target those ads at you, isn't it?
Well, it is, but then you add to that the way you can then get someone to fill in a profile. A fun profile. What kind of dog are you? And yes, we've all seen them. And it's, oh, you know, you're a German Shepherd. What you've just done is filled in a psychological profile, which can tell an advertiser the style of advertisement that is most likely to convince you to buy. So people say, oh, they're just showing ads at you. But yes, they're also able to then show you the kinds of ads that will most persuade you. Now, perhaps if it's just to choose a different brand of dog food, that's no big deal. But what if it's to choose how you will vote in the next election? What if a political party decides to target you quite psychologically about how you might change your opinion? Does that start to become more sinister? I don't know. So this is the world we've gone towards.
And still, I thought I was just taking photos and putting nice little sepia effects on them.
It's a great scam, isn't it? And I suppose in all of these things, that's actually what you're giving away. I mean, it's a cliche to say that if you're not paying cash for the product, then you are the product. for the advertisers. But that's really what we're talking about here. And in terms of buying Instagram, $27 or $28 per user, that's actually quite small.
You have to say it the way he does to make it sound small. That's still Gary, and you can find out more about him and indeed this story if you go to the website start at abc.net.au/radionational, and you'll find us.